It's Thursday the 15th of March. Welcome to episode 111 of Digital Outbox. And translated, that's episode 111. But I was convinced I wouldn't be able to say that. Joining me tonight is Henry. Hi, Henry.
Hi, Ian.
Hello, hello. I said I wouldn't mention it, but I can't. It's the eve of iPad 3.
Oh! Are you getting one then?
Yes.
As if I had to ask.
Well, as long as I've been good to Santa, I'm sure one will get delivered. So hopefully, any TNT drivers are sitting out there right now thinking, I can't be bothered tomorrow. I've got too many iPads to deliver. Bring me mine. Don't give a stuff about anybody else's. Bring me mine.
There's snow on the way.
There's not, is there?
No, but I was just thought you might miss a beat thinking, oh no! Actually, I'm sure that wouldn't work, but anyway.
No, it would probably just mean I get some skis out and go and find out where the distribution centre is.
Hang on, I'll dig you out, mate, if you just let
I'll
me.
I'll hunt you down like the dog you are. We've got a few stories to rattle through tonight, so let's crack on. First up, BBC Boss has confirmed the much mentioned rumour that they are going to launch a pay download service. Plans for an iTunes-style download service. And seemingly it's been called in the background Project Barcelona. I won't do any Freddy or whatever her name is, it's a monster at something.
Oh, I
impressions.
Know.
I'm very tempted. I don't really have a big problem with this. Some people seem to think they're paying twice now for their content. So they're paying for the license fee and they're being asked to pay again. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? You know, because they just lift the DVDs off the shelf of HMV for free when they've already paid for their license.
You old man.
No, I think it's perfectly reasonable. And the analogy with buying a DVD or something, I think, is you know, valid as far as I'm concerned. $189, perhaps a little bit on the steep side. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just being a bit of a...
I guess what I was thinking is for, you know, if a box set, I'm trying to think of it, if a box set of a six-part series is costing me £11-12, that seems about right.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I'm not so sure about maybe like a comedy. It's only half an hour. £2 sounds a bit ooh.
So, but maybe that's it. Maybe you just have to, you know, look for those feature length dramas and things that make it well worth the money.
I did see there's a couple of tweets bemoaning that the rumors are that this will launch along, you know, so as the show becomes available on iPlayer, you'll also be able to, you know, pay for your own kind of copy. And that, you know, that seemed to be a bit more controversial. But there's so many shows, especially, you know, BBC and ITV as well, that you know, the day after they're finished, the box set comes out.
Yeah,
you know, on the high street. So I don't see it as a big deal at all. I think it'll be really good. Another choice and another easy way of getting content without having to watch it live.
Absolutely, I think it's great and to be applauded.
A Digital Outbox thumbs up. Some updates from previous stories. Chris's pick last week was Draw Something.
And you were... You didn't like at all, did you? Well, you were rather disdainful of the fact that you had to pay for green. Extra
yes.
Colours.
I do.
Grass without green.
I am still quite annoyed that I've not earned enough coins to get green, and B, I refuse to give them money for green. But I absolutely love the game. It is fantastic, and it was a great pick from Chris. It's not only me that likes it. In just 5 weeks, it's been downloaded 20 million times.
Kerching.
And it's actually making six-figure sums per day.
Wow. Yeah, that's the kind of app you want, isn't it? That's the kind of app you wish you'd developed.
You think of all the example they're given, that they're talking about Foursquare, which gets a lot of press and a lot of love, but it's got, you know, more users than Foursquare, almost as many users as Instagram, And it's making money. Serious, serious money.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew, have you heard how much he spent in marketing?
No, I don't. But, you know, like all these things, it does become, for these hits, really, they're really, the marketing is really the key thing as well. So,
but he spent nothing.
Nothing?
He has spent not one penny on marketing.
That just goes to show, doesn't it? How, you know, that's guerrilla marketing at its best, at its finest.
So a hearty thumbs up to Chrissy's pick, which I think I even remember saying you're dialing this in last week, which was very harsh. It's a very good pick. A rather somber update game. It just seems to be every week we've got an update for game and it's just worse. So on Monday they actually confirmed what everybody kind of knew, that they were really struggling. We mentioned last week that they should start selling stores. Actually, they have. I think they've put 25 or 30 of them, you know, up for sale. And the big issue seems to be that they've got a quarterly rent bill coming up that they are going to struggle to afford. So
yeah, it's a bit sad, really. You know, I mean, many a person would say that game has been there. You know. A staple on the high street, certainly, you know, in the UK, and many people have enjoyed their many games from there. It's a shame to see them kind of go down like this, really. But
I must admit, I took a view last week that it was like, you know, how dare they charge money, extra money than online? But there's a lot of people's jobs at stake now. You know, there's 10,000 jobs potentially at risk. So it's a lot of people. But their share price is down at a penny, and it just looks like they're hanging in there to try. I mean, they had a bit of a fire sale last week on consoles as well, just to try and get some cash. So, not looking great for game, and I don't know how much longer they'll be in business, to be honest.
No, so might be a chance to get a deal from them, or maybe you want to wait till they're about to get rid of absolutely everything, and then you're,
well, I just see people saying cashing in my game vouchers.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Yeah. And speaking of games, Diablo 3 has been finally dated. May 15th, it's coming out for PC and Mac.
Ooh.
Did you partake in Diablo 2?
I think I skipped that one.
It'll be hard to remember. It came out in the year 2000.
2000. Unbelievable. Now I feel really old anyway.
Exactly. I couldn't believe it. I knew it was a long time ago, but I actually had to hit the Wikipedia before the start of the show. And I love it. Oh, 12 years. I was going to say 11. 12 years since it's come out.
12 years.
I might actually buy this one.
But not from game.
No. That's right. After we've lamented the fact that 10,000 jobs are at risk, I'll quite happily state that I won't buy it from them.
Well, the thing is that even if they're around then, and they're not getting the latest titles anyway, they might not even have it in stock.
And to show you how I just thought Warcraft, the World of Warcraft, I thought was this big behemoth that everybody was still playing. But Blizzard are doing a deal right now that if you sign up for a year's pass, so a 12-month annual pass to World of Warcraft, you get Diablo 3 for free.
Well, that might be worth it, eh?
That's quite a deal. I've not played Warcraft for, I was going to say a couple of years, but I think it's 5 years, because I think it's been out for 6 or 7 years now.
Yeah, it's been out for a long time.
I've just turned into an old greybeard.
Without the beard?
Without the beard, but all lots of grey. No, I've got lots of grey, Henry. Honestly, the folk that I'm working with are waiting for the Just Ferment to get bust out. It's
oh yeah, you know, I see that on the shelf behind you in your
thanks.
Not that we have any product placement on the podcast, but there we go.
How ironic, however, if on a technology podcast it would be Just for Men. Why not Apple? Oh, that's right, we burnt that bridge, didn't we? Final little update, Everything Everywhere. We talked about they wanted to offer 4G earlier than everybody else, and Ofcom have said yes, crack on. much to the annoyance of M3 and a few others.
But, yeah, but common sense prevails, really. I mean, it's a piece of nonsense, isn't it? You know, if they've got the coverage, they should, you know, should be able to use it. If they've got the spectrum. I mean, we made a big deal where of all the money that was made by the government by auctioning off the 3G spectrum, but that wasn't actually for... I mean, it was to be used for... They were going to use it for 3G, but, you know, they were... am I right in saying I think they could use it for anything? They just they bought the rights to that particular part of the spectrum. So I think they should be able to use some of this for 4G as well.
Absolutely, and anything that gets us some quicker speeds in a faster time, I think it's a good thing. So if three are certainly complaining. They had an MP. They'd be basically a stooge at one of the parliamentary committees today. Complaining on their behalf, saying it was unfair. And certainly this isn't a green light at the moment. It's basically green light a consultation period, which closes on April 17th. And the hope is that once consultation is complete, Ofcom will grant during the second quarter of this year, with the hope that a 4G service would be available in the autumn. Coverage unknown at the moment, which probably means it's London.
Yes, exactly. Where else?
Coverage unknown, but it will be London. Speaking of London, that was slick.
That was slick.
Yeah, that was almost Chris-like. Virgin Media have been chosen to bring Wi-Fi to London Underground.
Very good.
That's really the story. So 80 tube stations have to get Wi-Fi in time for the Olympics, with 120 locations to be live by the end of the year. And it'll be free during the Olympics, unlike everything else in London, which will probably cost at least four times the amount it costs today. It will be free.
I'm disappointed, though, they're going to make it pay as you go afterwards. Maybe I'm just used to free Wi-Fi all over the place. You know, it would be nice if Virgin Media customers got free use on the Underground.
That's an idea.
Maybe we should suggest that. Gee, I'm falling over my teeth today.
That's easy for you to say.
I wish.
But yeah, maybe there's a suggestion line. What was the old scheme at our work called? Oh, I can't remember now. Can't remember. It made me chuckle anyway. Probably shouldn't say. Exactly. That laugh says it all. Coming on to my topic of choice, just because you're in the podcast this week.
All right.
Yahoo sues Facebook.
That's easy but for you to say.
Exactly, I had to pause and actually think about it. So Yahoo, and this just seems like last throw of the dice time.
Yeah, so it does, doesn't lawsuit, it? Really?
Yeah, they filed a lawsuit against Facebook. It's on 10. I think it was on 10 different particular patents, which sounded actually not too bad. You know, it was like, well, I guess if you've got patents, everybody else is doing it. They've just joined the club.
Yep.
But the bizarre bit was that and part of their statement, they said that Facebook's entire social network model, which allows users to create profiles for and connect with, among other things, persons and businesses, is based on Yahoo's patented social network technology. So basically, they were saying that they kind of defined and built Facebook before Facebook did. But they didn't.
But they didn't. Of course they didn't. And that's really where these patents get completely, it's banal and bonkers in the extreme. You know, really, we should scrap this altogether. We say it every time. Well, I say it every time we have a talk about patents on the podcast. But really, this is just patently obvious that they shouldn't be allowed to do it.
That should be the name of our new podcast. And every week we could just talk patents, patently obvious.
Yeah. How to disenfranchise half of our listeners, and I bet the other one won't be very happy either.
Brunch. The one little thing you know a bit about more about this than me. Why is a software patent so bad, whereas a hardware patent isn't?
Because the software is just the algorithm, really. So it's analogous, I think, to the idea, and you can't patent an idea.
Oh, okay, right.
That's really the. That would really be my.
Interesting. On it. Interesting. I mean, and it does seem to be, it's just accelerated over the last kind of year and a half, 2 years, to ridiculous levels. A final story before we then go into real ridiculous stories. We've kind of trumped ourselves this week. Twitter buys Posterous, and I just added this in. Do you use Posterous?
I have had an account, and I did quite like it for a bit, but I haven't used it for a while.
No, and that was a strange thing, because it did seem to get a lot of press, and I actually knew a few people using it, because it was very easy just to post content on.
Yes.
But Tumblr seems to be that kind of platform of choice now, if you want to just throw things online.
Yeah, and I must admit that I'd use Posterous rather than Tumblr. It was just a bit easier to do stuff, but it was easy to get other people to be able to contribute to things, which is really why I'd set one up.
Ah, right, yep.
So you could kind of, you know, the publishing, the email address that you could get people to publish to, you could make available to other people. So yes. And then
people could just then email the content up and it would appear, yeah, and it's all, you don't need to worry about usernames and all that guff.
That was really the thing. So I quite liked the way it worked. I thought it was quite nice. But as I say, I haven't really used it for a while. So
and I'm interested. I don't know if this means Twitter are looking to kind of change slightly what they're doing, or whether it's just back to talent buy, and they want something else in their portfolio.
Maybe time will tell.
Portfolio of talent. Encyclopedia Britannica, a name that I hadn't heard for years, to be honest. Maybe that's just me.
Well, no, I suppose you're right. It's one of those things that is in the kind of collective consciousness, though, isn't it? You know, the encyclopedia, you think of... Well, you know, certainly people of our generation would think Britannica, whereas maybe, you know, nowadays people, you say encyclopedia and people think Wikipedia.
Yes.
And, you know, and there was that article just a few years ago which comparing the authenticity or veracity in Britannica articles versus Wikipedia, and found that the Britannica ones had slightly more errors in them, which of course they then, you know, refuted. It's a great way of, they've always got lots of professional people that are at the top of their game talking about things that they really know about. But, you know, the stuff does get out of date very quickly in this information age. And you might think that this was quite a big deal and that Encyclopedia Britannica is going down the tubes. But there was something like, over half of it. They only did the last run for 2010 was the last one that they put into print form. I think they only did something like 4,000, copies of the full set. So
really? Is that how low it was?
It was really like that. And half of them had gone unsold. So,
wow.
So that, you know, and... eBay and in the States, Craigslist, full of people selling off old versions of Encyclopedia Britannica. But it was something like only 5% maybe of their total turnover. So it's not the end of Encyclopedia Britannica. They make a lot of money from subscribers in the States, people signing up for $70, I think, a year.
Which doesn't sound too much if you can get a good resource. And I kind of paused that because I don't know how good a resource it is, just because of that article you quoted from a couple of years back that compared both. And, you know, is Wikipedia good enough for free?
Yeah. The thing is, though, that what you get with Britannica are actually well-known people who are, you know, known experts in their field talking about the things that they really know about. So... you know, they're the kind of people that if you wanted to know about a subject, they're the people that you would want to ask. Whether that's any better than Wikipedia, you know, crowdsourced and which is good enough for most people, good enough for the homework of millions of pupils and students. I don't know, but certainly there's enough people that are prepared to pay a subscription that that you know they keep the Britannica in business.
Yes, and you know, so they're now the print edition is now gone, and it's online only. And I guess they're getting a lot of press this week about that. So I guess it's a little spike in press, and it's also free for a week. So if you were interested in seeing what it's like, I mean, certainly in first looking at the front page, it looks kind of like a very, I don't know, it's almost like a website from 6-7 years ago, it feels like, even just style-wise, yeah. Which is probably me being harsh, but there you go, try it free for a week, and you never know, it might be a great resource for you.
Maybe.
And then you need to pay for it.
Then you'll need to switch to Wikipedia.
Yes. round about this time of year, we talked about Twitter. Twitter was a kind of breakout app from probably 4 or 5 years ago at South by Southwest. And we've seen Foursquare come out of it as well. And there's always been this kind of, you know, there's one tech app that's kind of won out. So South by Southwest took place this year, and there was really a saturation of little apps, and none of them really won. There was too many for there to be a one coming out as the best app. But the real story seemed to be homeless Wi-Fi transmitters. I can't even believe I've said those three words side by side.
It was quite interesting, wasn't it? And basically, they thought they would pay homeless people to carry around a wireless hotspot and get people to South by Southwest to pay them to use the 4G hotspot. Which
and also wear a T-shirt. So there's one T-shirt that says, "I'm Clarence, a 4G hotspot."
Yeah. from thinking that the homeless people would be able to make a little bit of money, the first day completely rained out. Washed out.
Was it in Glasgow? No.
Could have been. So there was nobody out on the streets. So therefore, nobody really wanting to buy wireless coverage from these homeless people, which is a bit of a shame. So the clever, it being organised by a marketing agency, that they or publicity stunt anyway, these people decided that they were going to make the most of a bad deal and say, well, actually it was all about the marketing anyway. There has been quite a bit of chat online about whether this is exploitative of homeless people or whether it's something that kind of will help the people, help homeless folk, something that helps them do something for themselves. The marketing agency, you know, did say that really, if anybody was kind of the people that were criticizing this whole effort, really hadn't talked to the people that were involved in it and hadn't got any of the personal stories, and that actually raised the awareness of homelessness in a way which wasn't really happening otherwise. And helped put a human face to it, and just to get the stories of folks that were in that unfortunate position. So, maybe not so exploitative after all.
I tend to think it wasn't, but then I tend to think I've turned into a Tory for even contemplating that. I don't see the big deal, to be honest. I think that summed up for me, South by Southwest was summed up by the fact that was the biggest story.
Yeah, yeah.
There was nothing really came out of it.
Bit of a shame, really.
I should give a little hat tip out to Roy, who gave me that story. So thanks to Roy for sending that in. Final story for us. This was just nonsense.
Well, I thought this was quite incredible. You know, this is the story that employers in the States are actually asking potential job applicants for their Facebook login details and passwords. Now,
unbelievable.
You'd think, what? You know, isn't that illegal? Isn't there, privacy laws to stop all that kind of thing? But, you know, in a recession, you know, employers will really try it on. And actually, digging a bit deeper into the story, this happened on just a few occasions by the Department of Corrections in the States, who are really desperately trying to check that there were no gang affiliations by potential potential employees, which, you know, kind of reasonable. When they were told that they weren't allowed to do it, they then got the candidates to log in, and while their interviewer looked over their shoulder to just check what all their privacy settings were and things.
It's absolutely awful.
If your employer asks you for your Facebook login and password, Ian, do you think you would pass it over?
Get out. Honestly, what's running through my head is, what if you turn around and said, I don't have a Facebook account, would they brand you a liar and you won't get the job?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Do you have the courage of your convictions to say, actually, you know, I don't have to give you that information. I'm not doing so, and risk not getting the job.
And as you say, times are tight, people are desperate. People would probably just log in or hand it over. I've certainly checked. I mean, I'll be honest, I've checked LinkedIn before interviews, just a very brief, try not to judge too much, because you should always judge it based on the actual interview itself, but it just gives me a bit more background to see if there's a bit of bluffing going on, because you do tend to find it that CVs are pumped up slightly.
Yeah, and you would want to verify that, you know, if you're going to call someone to interview, you want to verify really how they got on with other people, and you're gonna get that information from wherever you can. And nowadays, employers are much more reticent to give references and things. So and LinkedIn, as that it's designed to show off your work and what you've been doing. It seems perfectly reasonable that you would check that if you're looking to employ someone. I know in our work we definitely do that. We would check people's Facebook and LinkedIn profiles particularly.
And even the times we've taken on web developers, again, we'll show some examples. You know, show us something that you've done, which I know is maybe harder internally. If you're doing a lot of, you know, internal web work or internet work, it can be harder to demonstrate. But generally, you know, web developers have quite a varied background and can usually point to something. And again, we would check that and have no hesitation. I'm not really fussed about checking Facebook and Twitter, to be honest.
Well, no, and I think that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, Facebook and Twitter, you're going to get a lot of personal stuff. It's not really relevant what people do generally. So if it's not going to impact on your job, it shouldn't have a place in deciding whether you get the job or not.
And that's this week's news. We'll roll on to some picks. We both have picks this week.
We do, don't we? Wow, that's good.
Henry, why don't you give us your pick?
Well, my pick is actually a program that goes back a long, long time, as a long history, particularly on the Mac originally. It's a program called Bryce. And it makes the most beautiful, realistic kind of landscapes, skyscapes, all that kind of jazz. Very nice, very easy to use. It had a very intuitive interface originally. It's in the last few years, it's been taken over by DAZ 3D. It's a Mac and PC program, and the latest edition, the professional edition, Bryce 7, is available for free from the DAZ3D.com website until the end of March. Now, there are a few caveats with this. Although it works with both Mac and PC, it doesn't work well at all with Lion. But then lots of programs don't work well with Lion.
You stole my joke.
I did. But it's worth checking out if you're at all into creating something artistic that looks great. You can import lots of like 3D models and things, import from Google SketchUp, and it will render those very, very nicely. Worth checking out.
Very good. That's a nice pick. Mine is not really a bit of software on its own. It's another one of these bundle deals that we mentioned from time to time. This one stood out. It's a Mac Update bundle. I'm sure I've mentioned Mac Update before. This bundle is for $378 worth of apps for $50.
Woo!
Exactly. We had a little chat before the podcast. I guess we both bought bundles, both been probably we bought it for maybe just one or two of the apps and the rest have went untouched. Certainly, I think this bundle is much the same. But what stood out for me is that there's two or three apps that are really good and quite new. So VMware Fusion 4, which is a $50 app on its own, is included in this bundle. And that's relatively new. I think it's only been out 3 or 4 months. So you're not just buying an app that is only 2 or 3 weeks away from an update. I guess there are a couple of those, PDF Pen 5, which gets lots of great reviews from the Mac community, and Forklift 2.5, which is a really good FTP app. And Typinator also gets it's a text expansion solution. Now, those kind of 3 or 4 apps do add up to over $100 worth. So I would say, looking at the rest of the apps, there's nothing really jumps out as, yeah, I'd really like that, apart from maybe Worms. But certainly for those apps that I've mentioned, it seems a bit of a bargain. So if you're thinking of, you're on a Mac and you think about, you know, I need to be running, you know, Windows, VM Fusion is definitely a good solution, and you'll get some other great apps in there for $50. That's, and there's 13 days and 8 hours to run.
That's pretty good. The Mac Update bundles, I think they've done a really, really good job. They always seem to come up with something which is very useful in terms of productivity apps. I've bought a previous one with Parallels in it as well, which has been great, and yet some other kind of entertainment apps as well. They seem to have a good, well balanced bundle, and you can't fault the value that's on them either. So good.
I've also just realised I might be being a bit harsh. There's another app in here called Snapheel, which I hadn't heard of or used before, but I know the MacBite team are doing a webinar tonight all around Snapheel. So maybe that app is better than I'm expecting as well. So there are a few apps in there that's worth taking a look at, especially if you're new to Mac or you don't have any of these apps already. That's our picks. That's a show. If you'd like to find out more about us, we are on the web at digitaloutbox.com. We're on Skype and Twitter as Digital Outbox. And please email us or comment.
Please.
Email us info@digitaloutbox.com. We'd love a review. Jump on iTunes, give us a review. It would make little Chris happy. I said little. I swore I would never do that again. I'm not going to edit that out. I'll shame myself. So it'll make Chris happy. Leave a review. Henry, where can we find out more about you?
You can find me on Twitter as Talk Rhubarb.
Cool. I'm still annoyed about my slip up there. And
well, he's not so small now that he's wearing his platforms.
Hey, he's actually smaller than ever because he has actually lost weight. You can see these little, it's the cheeks, it's the jowls have starting to shrink. It's pretty good going.
And he's off zipping around the karting track tonight. So maybe that'll improve his lap times as well.
I'll stop there because I was going to start talking about skill. my blog, iandd.net. I'm on Twitter as Sweeper. And hopefully I will post up a review in the next few days of a certain new iPad coming through the door. If you get a new iPad, enjoy it, and we'll talk to you soon. Goodbye now.
Bye-bye.
What am I like for saying I wouldn't mention an iPad and then straight away I was like, I'm getting one tomorrow.
Get one tomorrow.
Yes.
Take that. Right way to the eyes.